please take your Bibles and turn to the book of James, James chapter 2. If you remember, James is writing not so much the way of salvation, but the way of the saved. It's not so much the root of salvation, but the fruits of salvation that he really addresses. And so I think it's a good word for us today to recognize that if you call yourselves a believer, there should be some works that follow that, that we should be evident in our testimony as we live for the Lord. And that's really what he's trying to say. So please don't get confused as you read the book of James and think that you're saved by works. He's not saying that at all, but it's saying that if you are saved, works will surely follow. So having said that, let me speak to you out of the book of James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. It says this: "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac and his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for your power and might. Thank you, Lord, for knowing us and help us to know you. Lord, I pray that we would live a life not only that says we believe, but truly shows we believe. Lord, help us to be a people not just of words, but of actions that cause others to know you too. Thank you, Lord, for your promise again. When your word is read, you'll not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I heard about a pastor of a large church that got a letter on a Saturday. When he opened it up, it was a page, just one page, and it said, "Fool." Well, he came to the pulpit the next week and addressed that letter. And he said, "You know, over the years, I've received many letters that people have written. They write these letters and have failed to write their name. I got one yesterday where the person wrote their name but failed to write the letter." So I think about that many times. The idea is, fool. James speaks about this, I think, in a great way. And if you go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And how James really, I think, addresses that is that a person that says they know God and yet does not do the will of God, that person really is a fool in one sense. And so we need to recognize that God has a plan for us. Again, remember, James, is the focus is not so much, again, the way of salvation, but the way of the saved. He focuses on works and faith. And so we need to remember what faith is to begin with. That word pistuo in the Greek there, Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so we know that faith is needful and necessary. It is a key thing. Matter of fact, sinners are saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." A believer must walk in faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." And then we can't do anything outside of faith. If we do something without faith, it is sin, according to Romans 14, 23. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Therefore, we recognize faith is needful and necessary, but that needful and necessary faith produces something in our life called works. And so James is going to be real clear about this, and he's going to basically say a saving faith is a serving faith, and a faith that does not serve is a faith that does not save. And so let me just take some time and address these different things. I don't want you to be confused thinking you got to do this and this and this to be right with God. But if you're right with God, you will do this and this and this. And so notice the first thing we need to see, that there's a faith that is dead, a faith that is dead. Three different times in this particular passage, James says something about a dead faith. James chapter 2, verse 17, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." James 2, verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. James 2, 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so James makes it clear that a faith that has no works is dead indeed. So notice some things about this dead faith. A dead faith may have a loud profession. A dead faith may have a loud profession. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith? That he says he has faith. Verse 18 says this, yea, a man say that thou hast faith. I'm telling you, the reason we're addressing this is because we live in a nation today that says we're Christian. We live in a nation today when you ask and speak to different people, the majority of the people in our nation today say we are a believer in God Almighty, that we're a Christian nation, that we follow Christ, that we do these things. But I wonder if that's really the case. We call ourselves Christian because sometimes of parents or even church association, but that is not what makes us believers. I kind of liken those to Disney World believers. If you've ever been to Disney World, you look around and you see all these different characters. They play the part, but when you get up close, you recognize that Mickey Mouse is hollow. He's not really Mickey Mouse, or Donald Duck is not really Donald Duck. It's somebody in there, and so sometimes we as Christians look the part, but we are really not the part, and that's what James is trying to address. By the way, James is a pastor, they think, in First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. And so just like what we deal with today all across this nation, so pastors see people that say they're believers but do not act like believers. And so today we're living in a world that you identify with whatever you want to be. Some identify as a man or a woman or a cat or a dog or a horse or whatever. James is making that same point that you can't just identify, you must be. And so notice this, we are what we are, not because of who we say we are, but because of who we are, and who we are will be matched by what we do. Now it took me a little while to read that or write that, so let me read it to you one more time. Here's the point that James is making. We are what we are, not because we say we are, but because of who we are, and who we are will be matched by what we do. That's all James is saying. If you call yourselves a believer, you will do these things. And so we need to say, yes, that we're believers. Matter of fact, I think it's important that we identify as believers. Please don't miss that point. If you go back and read Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 33, Jesus said, and whosoever therefore confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. In other words, we should identify. We should be called the children of God. We should say I'm believers. We should identify with Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth, that's identifying the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. And so the idea is you confess, you make this identification that you are believers. But just because you confess as being one of the Lord's children doesn't make it so. That's why there's a movement today to go against the sinner's prayer. They say, just saying some little prayer doesn't make you a child of God. And that's true. But a heartfelt prayer that calls out to God does. When you confess Him, when you believe Him, and then the Spirit fills you, you are saved. That is how you get saved, by grace through faith. You confess the Lord Jesus, but it cannot stop there for those that have truly received the call of God. And so I've seen this many times where people confess they are believers, but really we're not. When I was a youth pastor in Alabama many, many, many years ago now, we had a guy come into church and needed money. Matter of fact, it was one Sunday evening, I believe. Came in there, and I was just a young, innocent, I don't know the right word, naive maybe, that, man, everybody needs help. And so this guy comes in, and so I got one of the deacons, which had to be a police officer, and we were talking to this guy, and he was talking about all the different surgeries he had, and he said, I've got this from this surgery, and he lifted up his arms, and he was showing all the scars and different things. And then the deacon, the police officer, says, well, I noticed all this that you were showing, and that I can understand that, but I noticed when you lift your arms and you lift up your shirt, there was a big wad of cash in your britches right there. What's that money for? The man quickly turned around and left. because he knew his actions did not match his words. Something was not right. And so we need to recognize, just because you call yourselves and have a loud profession does not make you a believer. So a dead faith may have a loud profession, but also notice this, a dead faith has a practice that is lacking. Again, verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can that faith save him? Again, he is not saying we're saved by works or by doing, but simply saying we will do those things when we are called, when we are saved. Again, I want to read Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it is clear that there's not a checklist of things you can do to make you right with God. Matter of fact, I know some people that try to do this. I'm sure they say, well, I've got to go to church today, and you ought to go to church today, amen. But that does not save you. They say, well, I got to give. But that does not save you. Those are good things. I've got to pray at a certain time. I got to read my Bible at a certain time. I got to go to Sunday school. Matter of fact, we used to do Sunday school pens, and I know some people with a bunch of pens saying, I have a perfect attendance. And so they look at salvation kind of like that I've done all these things. So I have my salvation pen. It is not the way of salvation by doing all these things. We're saved by the grace of God. But again, if we're saved, there will be some evidences of that salvation. Faith without works does nothing. So I wonder, are you living a life that tries to do right because you are right with the Lord, or are you trying to simply do right thinking it will make you right with the Lord? Why are you doing the things that you do? Again, God wants you to do good things. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so we're saved. We're saved from something, our sin, which is our past. We're saved to something that's our future, but also we're saved for something that is good works at this present moment. If we have no works in Christ, it should put us on notice that at the very least there is something wrong with us, either spiritually or maybe our maturity, that something is not right. If you call yourself a believer and you're not involved, if you're not doing, and it doesn't have to be inside the church walls, you may have ministries outside where you are actively serving Christ Jesus. And so that's the key that James is trying to get. And so a dead faith that has a practice that is lacking, are you doing anything for Christ? Thirdly, notice this, a dead faith has a profession, a dead faith has a practice, a dead faith profits very little. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? So notice some examples. It did not profit those in need physically when you say instead of do. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them nothing, those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? And so what he's trying to say is that if you see somebody in need and you say, oh, may the Lord bless you and help you, and you don't do anything, it doesn't do any good. Just as your profession of faith that says, I'm a believer, and you don't do anything, it does not do you any good, because there's something missing there. There is something lacking, for a man that believes will do. If you remember the story about the Good Samaritan, there was two religious guys that walked by that did nothing, but a Good Samaritan that stopped and helped. And so that's the picture, that we need a life that does something for the cause of Christ. Somebody put it like this, every Bible must be bound in shoe leather. In other words, if you have a faith that believes the Word of God, it must be bound in shoe leather that does something for God. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I want us to recognize that we need to help others. And I don't want you to miss the point that it's not the works that we're after, but it's the faith that is the key thing, but that faith does cause us to do for the cause of Christ Jesus. And so somebody said, if I can help somebody, I'll pass along. If I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Hopefully today we are trying to do what God has called us to do. So have you failed to help somebody this week? Have you failed to do what God's called you to do? If you're not doing those things, it doesn't profit those physically. Secondly, I don't think these are in your notes, it does not profit those in need spiritually. Faith with no actions cannot lead others to Christ. Faith with no actions does not cause others to see Christ. If our faith does not compel us to share the gospel, what good is it to others? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That is us, me and you both. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as is written? How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so what he's trying to say is that the church needs to carry the message, and the church needs to send, and the church needs to do that others may hear and receive the word of God. If we just sit in this house and do nothing, the world will not be affected by us. It will do them no good. You say, well, God will send somebody else. Maybe so, but God's called us in our area to share the good news. And if we're not working for the cause, we are missing the mark. One of the greatest things we can do, one of the greatest works we can do with our faith is sow the seeds of the kingdom. You say, well, that's not my job. Well, I'm reminded what Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor, but he was not an evangelist. And Paul says, but watch down all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. And so you may not be an evangelist, but I think God's calling us all to do that work, to share the good news. Here's the third thing it does. It did not profit those physically, it did not profit those spiritually, but it does not, when you don't have works, does not profit you in your standing in the kingdom. And so when you fail to do what you are called to do, man, you're going to miss a great blessing one day when you stand before the Lord. Matter of fact, every deed's going to be rewarded. Matthew 10:42, and whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Do you know what he's saying? That if you'll do the smallest deed, the smallest work because of your faith, it will make a difference to them. And one day when you stand before the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I wonder, what are we doing today? What are we trying to do today? Are we doing those things that honor the Lord and help others? When we work by faith, it does some things. How about this? It entertains angels unaware. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. In other words, love does something. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And so who knows, that act of deed may be done for angels unaware. Also, it entertained Christ himself. Matthew 25, when shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick and in prison, or came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. What do? They visited, they helped, they loved, they encouraged, they lifted. And the Bible says when you've done it to those around you, you've done it to the Lord. Faith that works does mighty things for those around you, and it does it for the Lord. Faith and works is like this. It's like walking. If you're going to get very far, you got to take one step, faith. The next step, works. Faith works. Faith works. Now, don't keep walking. You'll fall off the stage, amen? But you got to simply do what God's called you to do. Do what the Lord wants you to be faithful about. For James says in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So let me move on from this. Let me ask you some questions. Have you called on the name of the Lord to save you? Hopefully, yes. He has saved you, and then he has asked you to do something. Have you done something for the kingdom of God? How do you describe your Christianity, with words or actions? Are you open to the idea of doing whatever the Lord desires? A faith that is dead doesn't do, but a faith that is alive does for the kingdom of God. Don't have a faith that is dead. Notice the second kind of faith. Not only a faith that is dead, but now a faith that is demonic. Now, again, I think the word is clear that we have preached and preached and preached that the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone will save you. We understand that He is the one and only, and we call on His name. Matter of fact, just believing His name is good, Acts 16:31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house." And so here's our problem. In America today, we said, just believe. And so we've come to the point recognizing that there is a God, but that's not the belief that He's speaking about. Just knowing that there is a God, that is not what He's talking about. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 14:1, He said, "You believe in the Father, believe also in me." And so He was right there amongst them. And so he wasn't saying, "Believe that I'm here." No, "Believe me and follow me." So notice this idea about belief. A demonic faith recognizes there's a God. A demonic faith recognizes there's a God. Verse 19, "Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The devils recognize and believe there's an almighty God. The Bible says they know He exists. They know He's up there. They know He's all powerful. They know He is sovereign. They know that. But they don't believe to follow Him. And so it's not enough to just say, "Well, I believe there's a God," or I believe there's Christ. The devils recognize and believe that as well. But their faith does not help them to receive Christ. A faith that believes must receive. Faith based on anything other than a surrender life to the Lord is not real faith at all. We must surrender to Him. We must recognize those things. See, the devils have two things that we often use. They have intellect. They could talk about God. They could hear sermons and talk about different things. So they have intellect, but also notice they have emotion. The devils also believe and tremble. They have a shaking or a fear when they come to the presence of God. There's a kind of faith that shakes you but does not send you out. There's kind of a faith that scares you to death but does not make you serve. Let me just tell you, I've been under some preachings of some powerful people before. Man, I feel like I'm lost now. I've got to go down there and get saved. And been that I remind myself, man, I am saved, not by myself, but by the grace of God. I am a believer. I am a child of God. But I wonder how many people just walk the aisle trying to escape a ticket to hell rather than to serve an almighty God. That's why the devils believe and tremble, because they know what their destiny is, but it does them no good. They have intellect and emotion. It produces guilt, but not glory. So I wonder, are you just recognizing God? Are you truly have a faith that follows God and serves Him? See, a demonic faith recognizes there is a God, but secondly, a demonic faith refuses to serve God. Verse 20 says, "But without know, O vain man, that a faith without works is dead." O vain man. That word vain is a worthless man, a man that is empty, a man that is not full. And so I'm telling you, when you get saved, the Lord fills you and uses that for your life, the rest, to serve Him. So don't be an old, vain man, an empty man. Be filled with the Spirit. And so a man that is vain, a man that is not filled with the Spirit, has a failure to submit to the authority of God, has a failure to seek the will of God. So let me ask you, if you're saved, are you seeking His will or your own? Are you seeking to do what He desires? Do you yearn to follow? You got to try this in the morning. When you get up, say, "Lord, it's a new day. Tell me what You will. And I will do. My feet are but wings to Your every command." I tell my wife that sometime, amen. My feet are but wings to Your every command, God. And see where God sends you. That is the desire that God has to send us out to do those things that are in His will. Do you say, "I believe in God," but do not follow what God says? Do you say, "I believe," but fail to seek what God wants for your life? Churches are in a mess today because it is filled with faithful members that have no real faith in the one true God. They do not have a faith that follows and serves Him with all their heart. Here's the third thing I want you to see. There's a faith that is dead. There's a faith that is demonic. But thirdly, there's a faith that is dynamic. A faith that is dynamic. Verse 18 says, "Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Doing is a natural response to believing. Let me say that again. Doing is a natural response to believing. Matter of fact, if I were to move this over and I had a big rattlesnake in here, let me just tell you what I would do. By faith, I would leave this spot. Amen? It's a natural thing. When you believe something, you do something. And that's what he's saying that we need to understand. We should simply do the will of God. So a dynamic faith moves a person to perform deeds. Verse 24 says, "Ye see how then how by faith, by works, a man is justified and not by faith only." And so this is a real confusion. If you're not careful, you'll think, well, he's going to be justified. Let me remind you that word justified is a pronouncement. It is a picture there that has been placed on somebody of justified. It's not something you earn. You are justified. You are pronounced right. And so our works recognize or show something about us that we are living for the Lord. Our works show the intents of our heart. Our works show that we are following Christ. Now let me also say, you can also work and not be a believer. You can have works without faith. This is why this is so confusing. Let me go to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Verse 21. "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." In other words, just because you say no, you got to do the will of God. "Many will say to that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" I'm telling you, that's big boy stuff there. Prophesying and casting out demons and many wonderful works. That's big works. But he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So it must be by faith and not just by doing. And so he's going to give you two great examples of how to have the right faith. Abraham and Rahab both had dynamic faith. Both so very different. One was a man, one was a woman. One was very respectable, one who was a, best way to say it, was a prostitute, was not. One heard the voice of God speak to him and tell him different things. One heard from others about what God was doing. But both believed and received the great things of God. So look at these just for a moment. Verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac upon his son upon the altar?" And so he reminds us of Genesis 15 when God says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and take him down to the mountaintop there, and I want you to sacrifice him. And so he did that, got to a point, laid his son on the altar, got the wood, lifted up his knife to slay his son, and God spoke to him again and says, basically, put down the knife. Do not harm your son. I know your faith. And so we know that Abraham was justified by what he did. But what he did was based on what he believed. Let me keep on reading in Romans 4:3. "For the scripture saith, Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness." Galatians 3:6, "Even Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness." Here's why. Hebrews 11:17-19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he might also receive him a figure." Abraham believed God so much that he was willing to do whatever God said, even offer a son, knowing that God had promised that through his son he would raise up a generation of people. Abraham was willing to do that because he trusted God. That's all he's saying, that we should have a faith so much that trust him. And when God speaks to your heart or convicts you, then you must follow that conviction. Notice Rahab. Rahab's a little bit different. If you look at Rahab's life in Joshua chapter 2, the spies were coming into the land. Remember Joshua and Moses. Moses had died. Joshua's in the promised land, so he sends out spies to spy the land. He had two spies to go into Jericho. And so these two spies get in there, and they meet Rahab. And Rahab says, "Hey, come here. I got a plan." And so Joshua chapter 2 says, this is Rahab speaking, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, which are on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts didn't melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Here's a lady that never heard about God until recently. Here's a lady that had no idea. God didn't speak to her, but through a testimony of works and power, she heard about the people of God, and she said, that is what I want. And because of that, she was willing to follow what God desired. Because you may be here thinking, well, God's never told me to do this, but let me tell you, the Word of God says so. And when the Word of God says so, it's just like Rahab hearing about what God did and what God wants us to do. And so she believed and followed. She simply loved the Lord. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, for when she had received the spies with peace. And so we find in verse 25 of James 2, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. Her faith caused her to have certain actions. Just like Abraham. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac upon the altar? That word justified again is to demonstrate something that is morally right. These two worked in such a way that demonstrated they believed in God. So let me ask you, what are you doing that shows that you believe in God? What kind of practice, what kind of good deeds, what are the things that you're doing that help you to show others that you are a true believer in Christ Jesus? A dynamic faith moves a person to perform deeds, but secondly, a dynamic faith matures the person in Christ. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. I mentioned 100 times already, faith that works confirms a believer. A faith that works shows what's in the believer's life. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. And then he mentions a lot of things they do. Faith helps us to understand who we are and then calls us to live out that life. And when we do that, others recognize that in us, and so it completes us. So when you take a step of faith, like Abraham. Abraham was called by God to go someplace. He did not know where he was going. And so by a step of faith, he does that. And then once God gets him there, he speaks to him again. And then he does that. And when he gets to the next point, and then God speaks to him again. And so it is a thing of faith, of maturity. When you follow God, when you listen to God, and God says, do this, and you do it, man, there's just something that happens. And then you say, Lord, send me again. And you do that, and God continues to mature your faith or complete your faith. Lastly, a dynamic faith just doesn't move the person to perform deeds and mature a person, but a dynamic faith makes a person pleasing unto God. Verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so we find that Abraham was the friend of God. Why? Because he followed God. He obeyed God. He served God. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants us to recognize there's a job for us to do. So I'm reminded of Matthew 25, verse 21. And he said, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 26 says, and his Lord answered him and said unto him, thou art a wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou therefore oughtest have put the money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive mine own usury or my own interest. Take therefore the talent from him that is given to him, and give it to the 10 talents. For every one that has shall be given, and he that has an abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and shall be cast to cast the unprofitable servant to the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so I'm trying to say this, that God wants you to serve him. And when you do serve him, man, how good it is that God is well pleased with us. My title is Well Done or Burnt. I don't want to get too off kilter here. But those that serve God, those that believe, those that follow him, one day you're going to hear the words, well done. For those that don't believe, for those that don't truly follow him, for those, it's not going to be well done. It's going to be burnt one day in all eternity. Why not choose this day to follow him? Why not choose to have faith in a Christ that can do all things? William Bathurst writes this, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble at the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, and in darkness feels no doubt." That's the kind of faith I want. A faith that believes, a faith that receives, a faith that lives for the Lord. I hope that's your desire this morning too. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. Think about your life. Maybe you're here today and you have no idea about this faith thing. Maybe God's been speaking to you that you need to be a follower of his. And so today, call upon the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Simply call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. It's in the Word of God, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call. But don't let that be your stopping point. So maybe today is the start of salvation. Why not make that public? Why not confess him before all these people? Why not walk that aisle this morning and say, "Brother Paul, I need Jesus. I need to be saved." I'll tell you more about that. But maybe you are saved this morning, but your actions are not a representative of your faith. Why not commit today that I will live by faith, that my faith will be evident to others. I will do what God's called me to do. I will not only just believe, but I will work for the Lord Jesus. Maybe today it's a commitment to do that at this altar or right where you stand. Maybe today it's church membership and God's saying, this is the place that you need to serve. This is the place that your faith needs to be evident. This is the place that God wants to use you. Man, we'll take you just like you are. Maybe it's at this altar. You need to pray for somebody yourself. Whatever it is this morning, don't leave here without doing the will of God. Don't leave here without committing to the work of God. Don't leave here till you know you're pleasing in the eyes of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. Lord, I pray that you would move us mightily. You convict us, that you would lead us and guide us, that we be a people of more than just words, but of actions. More than just a so-called faith, but a working faith. Lord, we would leave here today doing your good will. Thank you for all these things. Bless the invitation. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.